Here in America, the murder rate is three times what it is in other developed nations. The murder rate with guns is 10 times what it is in other developed nations. No other advanced nation endures this kind of violence. None. It should be clear that the change we need will not come from Washington, even when tragedy strikes Washington.
All right, we're talking about the Naval Yard, and that is your president and some of his thoughts on what has to happen in the near future. And you heard him talk about the murder rate there. That's where we begin this edition of America Tonight, this hour anyway. And I know as you're in your nooks and crannies and you're thinking to yourself, it's, my goodness, it's terrible what happened there, and I can't believe it. It's been a week now. And what is the thing that immediately crops up in your mind? And to me, there are a couple of things. And one is, how can it be that the government, which is so large, pays a company over $200 million, a crazy amount of money, to vet people out, and they could not find out the true background? Some of the easy for any of us amateur sleuths to find out about. They could not find that Aaron Alexis had had a hair trigger temper, had problems with a few different incidents before on a police record, and none of that ever seemed to raise any red flags. That is the stunning part of all of this, and probably gives the families who truly are the ones who are victimized by all of this, because they lose a father, a grandfather, a son, a mother. I mean, you get my idea here. And they're the ones who now have a lawsuit that they can file against the government. The scrutiny, the hiring practice, it's appalling that somebody actually is making the kind of money that they're making to vet out or do background checks on people who apply for even the simplest of jobs, and yet they did not find this. And to me, 1 week later, that's the very first thing. Now, number two is, got to have somebody armed on the bases. Got to have somebody armed at a naval shipyard. Have to do this better. Cannot be that difficult to keep people safe, for goodness sake, when they work at a naval shipyard. There's no 100%. Okay, we start with that. We get that. Am I way out of bounds here, folks? Are you thinking the same thing when you hear about this over and over and over again? Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, we're going to re-rack for you a conversation with Nathan Schneider, Occupy Wall Street. Do you know it's been 2 years since that movement? He wrote about it for the New York Times, for Harper's Magazine, and The Nation. He talks about what was some of the more interesting things that happened on OWS and some of the things that didn't happen as well. It was a movement that definitely got a lot of headlines. And now it's been 2 years since then. The other thing is, now the FBI and our intelligence gatherers are looking closely at the deadly Amal attack over the weekend by an Al-Qaeda-linked group. I mean, a huge, huge thing happened here. Because of the amount of people that were killed, this was a mall attack in a seemingly friendly area in Nairobi. And there was 5 minutes of gunfire from the Westgate Shopping Center. They say at 6:30 in the morning on Sunday, because this has been going on since Saturday. They tried to get the last hostages out, because, by the way, besides killing over 68 people and wounding 175 others, roughly what the figures that have been released, there were people that were held hostage as well. And what's being released is there were some Americans who were part of that Al-Qaeda group involved in the attack on that mall. Wow. That is maybe the biggest part of this. And that's why the FBI and the CIA is all over it. Because can you imagine if that is proven to be true? Wow. So most of the hostages had been rescued. And they have control of the mall. But there's still some very sketchy information that's flying around. How many hostages are still being held? How many rescued? All that kind of stuff. I mean, this is a major event. Major. Al-Shabaab involved in this. Even Congressman Pete King, who was part of the Sunday Swirl, he was on ABC News this week, said that Al-Shabaab is one of the only Al-Qaeda affiliates which actually has actively recruited in the United States. So having two people with guns that were American citizens would be very, very big. Awful. But this was planned out, well coordinated. It was a massacre. They were looking to get these people. Initially, the number of 200 was thrown out for hostages, but between 50 and 200. Wow. Wow. And if the Americans are tied to this, and if they are actively recruiting in the United States, how awful is that? That's part of the concerns of whipping up those who could easily be attracted to this kind of a group. So the State Department says four American civilians were injured and were getting assistance, and they ranged in age from 2, sadly, to 78 years old. Nairobi is supposed to be a pretty safe place. Lots of Americans fly into Kenya to help orphanages, to work on other projects there, and to simply visit Kenya. People go on trips there, business trips and welfare trips and you name it. There was an American citizen that I saw on one of the morning shows that said she was in the mall's parking lot when the gun sound, you know, she heard that it first broke out. She hid for an hour and a half inside a stairwell with a driver and two other wounded people before they ran into a supermarket to escape through a loading dock. That'd be frightening, wouldn't it? So, of course, the United Nations Security Council condemns the attacks, says that they're expressing their solidarity with the people in the government of Kenya. But I think the thing that we want to know about is the Americans, one, the Americans involved in this attack, and then were there any other Americans that aren't accounted for at this point? All right, hang with us if you want to throw in your two cents on any or all of it. How concerned should we be if it is proven that Americans were recruited and part of this group now attacking in Nairobi? 855-266-5283. Meet you on the flip side.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues no matter matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Hi, this is Eric Hamburg with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Ever wonder why billionaires like Warren Buffett, John Paulson are dumping their shares of U.S. company stocks? Do they know something we don't? No investor wants to own stocks with falling profit margins and shrinking dividends. Is it possible a 1987-style market crash is coming? Are these investors aware of a massive correction of up to 90%? Call me, Eric Hamburg, at 800-686-2237, extension 120, and find out why gold and silver are the only true safe haven. With event-driven risks, such as volatility in the financial market and conflict in Syria and the Middle East, the sky is the limit for gold and silver. That's Eric Hamburg, 800-686-2237, extension 120, and I'll send you a brochure explaining why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. As a currency's value crumbles and gold being priced in dollars, the metal's value will skyrocket. Again, that's Eric Hamburg, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 120.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Times are changing, and violent crimes against law-abiding citizens are out of control. Protect yourself with legal, affordable, 100% made in the USA ballistic body armor. Available at AR500.com. Rated for calibers up to .308 Winchester. Packages including armor start at only $210. It's the right of every responsible American citizen to own body armor. Get some at 602-501-9607 or AR500.com.
That three terrorists in the Kenya mall siege actually lived in the United States would not be a good thing whatsoever. Pete King is spreading the word, the congressman from New York, that this is how they're reaching out. Al-Qaeda is expanding its net on an international level, and are Americans who could possibly be involved. And I agree with him in the sense that this is more than troubling because of the reach and the influence. And it does show the influence of Al-Qaeda in Africa. You know, for a long time, Al-Shabaab was not on a terrorist category on an organizational list, because they consider them to be focusing on tribal issues, but they have left that port, certainly. And they're pretty significant, rather. And if they're recruiting people from the United States, that's not good whatsoever. Think about one of the first major attacks on the United States. Where did it happen? Kenya, embassies, 1988. And I remember that. So now it's coming full circle, as Congressman Pete King would say. Busiest time of the week, busiest time of the day. They took hostages, just like Mumbai. It just shows you that when you think, hey, you know what, we really have a come a long way. We have and we haven't. So what's happening now at this point? It certainly is a jihadist war that continues. And who is recruited and who's involved? It means they're focusing on non-Muslims. Or at least it looks that way anyway. And who knows until all the facts come out, but the way they're being grounded out, I would say that there's reason to believe that that's pretty good, on pretty good authority, that there are Americans that are unaccounted for, that are on the radar, that are believed to be part of this group. And that's not good. Because then you think of the recruiting process. Big story, one I have to mention as we click along, is Wayne LaPierre says the Navy Yard shooting is because there is not enough security. You know, and some people will point out to Wayne LaPierre and the NRA and say, oh, that's just ridiculous. It's not ridiculous when you think of a Navy base miles from Congress and the White House. That's pretty much an unprotected piece of property there. So how come there's not more security? Why isn't that an important place? And why wouldn't you have people with experience being able to be in and around the Naval Yard armed as much as possible? I mean, if you have people who don't obey the laws, if you have people who just want to kill people, well, they're going to do it. And we have to look at mental health records. The whole national instant check system. And you have Aaron Alexis, the Navy Yard shooter, with mental problems, allowed to just go on to the naval base. Wow. Shocking. Hate to drop both of the things at the top. So, will more gun laws reduce crime? Bad guy shootings? Will more good guys with weapons reduce the problem, eliminate the problem? I don't think you can ever 100% eliminate the problem, reduce the problem. Yeah. I think so. Especially in those key situations. I mean, I'm almost surprised that nobody was in that situation. I mean, that nobody was armed, that nobody was there, that nobody was ready, that they didn't knock this Aaron Alexis out. So what do you say? 855-266-5283. I know you're out there. I know you're out there. You're breathing. Call me. Well, you've got all kinds of people who are blaming the NRA for the Naval Yard problems. Yes, it's true. Just reading this morning about a Kansas college professor who is blaming the NRA for the shooting, saying that David Guth, an associate professor of journalism, says, the blood is on the hands of the NRA. Next time, let it be your sons and daughters. Shame on you. May God damn you, is what this professor said. Aaron Alexis, and this is why he's saying this, a discharged Navy Reservist subcontractor, killed 12 people at the Navy Yard before he was shot in his battle with the police. He had entered the property with a shotgun. So whenever you throw guns out, people get excited about that because they draw a line in the sand. And what a senseless thing to happen. And the NRA is saying, well, don't blame us. And what this Kansas professor is saying, the NRA is championing a gun culture that is shredding our nation's moral authority like armor-plated bullets ripping through the flesh. So what do you think? Is that what's happening here? Am I blinded by the light somehow? I think the real idea is to vet people, to vet them better, to try to do everything you can to not like let this happen. But it's not that you can 100% stop it either. So did he stop at his Aaron Alexis? Did he stop at the main gate and show his ID card? Yes. Was he waved through the gate? Yes. Had he been there before? Yes. He probably had something that identified his car, as a matter of fact, because that's usually the norm. Ugh. Unbelievable. So, wrestling with the Navy Yard and trying to decide what should happen there in the near future. What should happen so that somebody isn't looking over their shoulder the entire time that they go on the naval base. And in Kenya, people are going to be looking over their shoulders for a long time when they go to the mall, for goodness sake, because you want to talk about a place where you're not expecting that to happen when you're picking up shirts, blouses, kids' shoes, whatever it is. You are not expecting to have to duck and cover. But it goes to our pal David Nance, the security expert, who's been on America Tonight several times. And what does David say? When you get into a situation where you're out in the public anywhere, you have to know your surroundings as best as you can. You might not be able to... You might not be able to easily take cover, but you'll know some techniques and some things you can do so you're not in this situation. I can't imagine like the one woman going to my car and realizing I can't get in this car. I've got to hide in the bottom of the staircase and just figure out when I think the coast is clear. So do I wait an hour? Do I wait 2 hours? Do I wait 3 hours? What do I do? Oh, it has to be the most horrifying feeling ever to realize just like that. Oh, guy with a gun, people with a gun, I don't know, I could be next. Do I crouch? Do I run? Do I crawl away? What do I do? How do I get out of this? And ultimately, people always do go, first thing off the top of their head to think of is hide. Is hide, I got to get out of the open. So I got to get in this closet, I got to get under this bed, I got to get out in the open. Scary. What's the first thing you would do if you were in a mall and you heard that pop, pop, pop sound? Look for some place to hide. I bet most of you would do that very same thing. All right, coming up next, Nathan Schneider, we're going to talk about Occupy Wall Street. Where is it after 2 years? Wow, it's been gone 2 years. Stay with us.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own healthcare decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A silver.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Here they come again. Catch us if you can. Time to get a move on. We will yell with all of our might. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can. Type of fun. When we're getting angry, we will yell with all of our might. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Do you believe it's been 2 years since the beginning of Occupy Wall Street? I was in New York for the very first Occupy Wall Street, just coincidentally, and I can remember hearing the bullhorn. I remember talking about it actually on the show, and then we saw how it grew and spread in other cities, and certainly capturing some headlines, some imagination in some ways. Really, there were a lot of people who jumped on board, and it started to become a little bit of a movement, and then it failed in the end, at least what they were hoping to accomplish, I believe, Occupy Wall Street, in what some of the areas, because it differed from place to place, although there was some common themes. In the wings in our virtual green room, we've got Nathan Schneider. He's somebody that you probably read his work, perhaps in the New York Times, The Nation. He covered OWS a lot. And his latest book is Thank You, Anarchy, Notes from Occupy Apocalypse. Hey, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it, Nathan.
Absolutely. It's great to be on.
So tell me about the first time that you encountered OWS and your thoughts. As you were reporting this, what was running through your mind and what you saw?
Okay, it's a funny story, and actually I was reminded of it in the last in the last 2 weeks because it was portrayed on the on HBO's show The Newsroom, where one of the characters in the show seems to have borrowed something from my article for Harper's about showing up at the first my first planning meeting for Occupy Wall Street about a month before it started in Tompkins Square Park in New York, and I hear someone say, "No cops, they're reporters," and so I raise my hand and say, "Oh, I'm a journalist. I'm interested in covering this." And then there's a half hour dispute about whether I could stay. And that was pretty harrowing. And all along in the course of reporting on this movement, there's been that sense of constant interchange between frustration and difficulty and confusion and just amazement and inspiration. That meeting was full of young people who were energetic, who were ready to organize and put their bodies in the way of power. And it was an exciting thing to discover.
And so as you started to get deeper in and you started to see some of the people involved, what did you think were the main themes and the reason that Occupy Wall Street started in the first place?
Well, we can talk about the broader injustices. We can talk about the economic collapse and income inequality. Racial inequality in the United States is still very, very significant. We can talk about all those things. Lots of people do so. But I think another part of it that's really important is the inspiration. You mentioned the word imagination earlier. Income inequality is worse right now, than it was then. In the United States, but there was an inspiration then in 2011. Tahrir Square had happened. There was still a very positive sense of what that represented. People had risen up in Wisconsin as well, and actually that summer I was seeing a number of different groups planning to occupy public space in the United States at the same time. It was amazing. There was something in the air. They were all doing it independent of each other. I was going to several different planning groups at the same time reporting on this. And there was just this sense that, people cast aside that usual irony, that sense that we can't do anything, and started to feel, actually, maybe we can. Maybe a little bit of organizing and a little bit of creativity and courage can make a big difference.
What did you think, as you watched it expand and as you said, the imagination of some of the people and what was happening, what did you think as you started to see it atrophy and collapse? Were you surprised by that? It's funny you mentioned the Newsroom segment. I saw that on HBO, and you're right, they probably did copy some of that from what you had written. But in that, clearly some of the questioning was about, well, there's no, the back and forth, there's no real leadership. Don't you have to have a leader? Was that one of the things that you think caused the collapse? There wasn't just one main theme and somebody who was in charge, so to speak, of all the OWS in movements across the country?
Well, we in this country have such a funny way of looking at popular movements. I mean, the way we, conjure these criteria about what a movement has to look like, it's really based on a lot of falsehoods about how movements have actually been in this country, based on the way that they've been adopted by the kind of public discourse. We're told that the civil rights movement happened when Martin Luther King stood up and decided to take a stand and then told everybody how to do so. And that's not true at all. There were a number of different groups doing a number of different things, actually, if you look at the work of a social movement historian in the 80s and 90s named Bill Moyer, he describes something exactly like what took place in Occupy. That movements generally start with this kind of moment of adrenaline where you don't need a leader, where it's all about an idea and it's all about a rupture. And, I call it in the book an apocalypse, which in Greek means an unveiling. It's this exciting moment where people realize that things are really wrong and get a sense of a spark and an excitement. Then, over the course of years, they gradually, they fall out of that. It can't last forever. And they start to build new structures. They start to work in new ways. And that's what's happening now, is that a lot of the people who were involved in Occupy Wall Street are now, you know, not so much thinking of themselves as associated with Occupy, but they're doing things like organizing fast food workers and sparking strikes at Walmart and putting their bodies in the way of the Keystone XL pipeline that promises to, you know, to be what you know, the NASA scientist James Hansen called a carbon bomb for our planet. All these things.
Yeah. Do you think, and a great way, by the way, to describe that, and a great way to look at that. So there were things that maybe many of the people took out of OWS, as you were describing one of them, that they then are putting in play, perhaps even in their later years, who knows, with things that they're working on in the community, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to recognize that this is what the people in those planning meetings I was at were after. You know, the idea of one demand was something that Adbusters, this magazine in Canada, proposed initially. But by the time the occupation actually began, there had been weeks of meetings where people planning what would happen on the ground had decided they weren't interested in one demand. They weren't ready to make one demand. They weren't powerful enough. They had to build a movement first. Adbusters had made a mistake. And what they wanted to do instead was inspire people around the country to organize in their communities and their neighborhoods to come up with their own demands that were relevant to their communities. And that's what people have done. So I think a lot of times when people talk about the failure of Occupy, you know, they judge it by standards that are kind of apart from what a lot of these people were trying to do.
Was there one particular person or several people that you met that you just really, you just hooked onto them? You thought, wow, this person is so interesting, and I can't believe that initially seeing it through their eyes, they came from whatever situation, and here they are. I see them day in and day out. Was there somebody that really touched you, in other words?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there were so many. That was the problem. You know, if there was one thing to, in one way to describe what the occupation was like, it was like, you know, a conversation that you could never get out of. You would go in one day, one afternoon, and you just strike up a conversation with somebody, and then one thing would lead to another, and it would never end. You know, one person who I write about a lot in the book, who's, you know, become a controversial figure in the movement, but, you know, was a very influential one, is a guy named Amin, who grew up in Palestine, who was a part of the First Intifada as a kid. And so he had this history of resistance and experience. Then he became a corporate lawyer, so he understood business. And then he got frustrated with that, felt it was empty, and dropped out and became an artist. And that combination is so, you know, so essentially Occupy in a way, that history of resistance, but then also that way of being an artist, of a crafter of the imagination. And so many of the people who drove the movement, you know, weren't so much political operatives, weren't so much strategists. They were artists. They were, you know, professional artists, people who'd been to art school, musicians, all these things, people who were used to trying to blow people's minds and trying to get them to open up their sense of possibility of what society could be like.
And I can imagine in your book you probably have other stories like that. Do you do that in the book as you trace the movement and whatnot?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the book, I think of it as a story of these people trying to come to terms with what they had helped create. You know, this phenomenon, you know, spread so much more wildly and rapidly than I think anybody could have expected. And they were excited by that and enlivened by that, but at the same time, they weren't quite sure what to do with it, and their control over it was limited, and that was a real adventure, and it led to, you know, on the one hand, some really exciting moments, some just thrilling experiences of opening to new possibilities, but also, you know, a lot of frustration and pain and hurt.
Yeah. All right, pick up the book. You want to read more of those stories. Thank you, Anarchy, Notes from the Occupy Apocalypse. Love that title. Nathan Schneider, appreciate you coming on America Tonight.
Absolutely. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
What if it happened? The lights go out and the power doesn't come back. Could you provide your family with the basic necessities of life? We can teach you how at the Sustainable Preparedness Expo. Sunday, September 29th at the Evergreen State Fairgrounds in Monroe, Washington. Learn about growing all your own food, herbal medicine, emergency medical and dental techniques, water well hand pumps, seed saving, emergency radio communication for beginners, and other life-saving information to provide you with the knowledge to survive in the direst of situations. There's a wide variety of vendors offering the latest preparedness products and services. Plus, visit the Longevity booth. The Sustainable Preparedness Expo is an event the entire family will enjoy. For tickets and registration info, go to sustainablepreparedness.com. Enter promo code GCN to save $3 on tickets. Don't wait to be a victim. Plan ahead with the Sustainable Preparedness Expo, Sunday, September 29th at the Evergreen State Fairgrounds in Greater Seattle.
With the well-known shortage of availability in guns and ammo, the question is, will food and preparedness items be next? Now, at ProStoresDirect.com, buy a 32-serving bug-out bucket, and you'll get a prime assortment of Mountain House survival food entrees, including favorites like chili mac with beef and spaghetti and meat sauce, all made with real USDA meat. That's enough food for one adult for a full week, all for just $75.99 with free shipping, delivered in a handy, resealable bucket that'll store for up to 25 years. Pro Stores Direct has a huge selection of family-sized food units too, right up to military-grade number 10 cans. And we'll give you great deals on new military first aid and surgical kits, portable water filters, heirloom seeds, and all your bug-out gear. Always with free shipping to the lower 48. Be ready for any challenge with food security for your family at ProStoresDirect.com. ProStoresDirect.com, your first stop for preparedness and survival gear, and proud sponsor of the free media.
Locker on 3rd and 10 against the blitz. Fires deep right side. Going for Hunter. He's got it! He's got it! Touchdown, Titans! Justin Hunter's first catch as a professional. May well be a game winner!
Now Romo comes up under center. And that's going to be Des Tate. And Romo throws a fade to Bryant for a touchdown on the left side of the end zone. One-on-one stop made on Cortland Finnegan. Academy scores first touchdown of the game. Finnegan complains, Des pushed off. He may be right, and it doesn't matter.
Lexington. That's off a high, towering punt. Russell fielded at the 18, starts to his left, runs to his right, 25, 30. He's got an avenue, 40. He's in midfield, has to beat the punter, near sideline, 40, 30. Nobody there, 20, 10, 5, touchdown, and it's gone. 82-yard punt return.
Newton hands in the ready position. Khalil snaps it to him. Short drop by Newton. It's the quarterback. Oh, Newton getting pushy, getting chubby. Got it. Touchdown.
And you forget to have getting jiggy with it, too.
Geno Smith in the shotgun. Slot left, Holmes right. Takes the snap. Five-man rush. Looks right. Throws a bomb down the right sideline for Santonio Holmes. Makes the catch. Stays on his feet. At the 30, 20, 10, 5. Airplane into the end zone. Touchdown.
Flash and fake, flip it over, Deion Sims, touchdown!
What hit it?
It's over, they're taking the lead in this game! Are you kidding me? What a goal! Deion Sims makes a one-handed catch!
The first catch of his NFL career, and it's a touchdown.
Safeties are deep in Roethlisberger, and the gun under a blitz. Snaps to cut the ball,
oh, lead is out, and in the hands of Julius Peppers.
Peppers running right, 35-30, Peppers to the 20, Peppers to the 10, 5,
for the first down. Franklin, the lone back. Rodgers gives Franklin into the middle of the line. He's stung back. He's short. Ball came loose. It's fumbled by Nelson. Picked up by the Bengals. Terrence Newman. He accelerates downfield all the way to the end zone for the touchdown.
What a week in the NFL in the books. Week three. My goodness. You heard the tail end of that one. Cincinnati beating Green Bay 34-30. They did it in the final 4 minutes, really, of that game. Green Bay muffing it up, and it was really a tale of mistakes, misfortune, and opportunity. And what a great job by Matt Johnson with those highlights there. I hope you all appreciate that as we do nail the score each and every week. It's just kind of fun to re-rack what happened in the NFL, and that was one of those nail-biter games, but it was a game that was also marred by lots of turnovers on both sides of the ball, so it wasn't pretty, it was ugly, and the Bengals finished it off, basically, when Michael Johnson batted down Aaron Rodgers' fourth down pass at the Cincinnati 20-yard line with 1:21 left, so it was, again, one of those crazy moments for Cincinnati to roll, to take advantage of the opportunity, and Green Bay to stumble. I know there are a lot of Green Bay fans listening to this. I think really where it all ended was when you had the you had a lot of weirdness at the end of it. There was a flub that bounced right into Terrence Newman's arms, and he returned a fumble 58 yards for a touchdown. That was with specifically 3:47 left on the clock, and that the Bengals then were 34-30 over Green Bay when Green Bay was knocking on the door and could have scored another touchdown to put this away or at least put up a field goal. And I guess a touchdown was what they would have wanted. But either way, the Bengals blew a 14-point lead. The Packers let a 16-point lead get away in the second half. Green Bay scored 30 consecutive points and lost. It was nutty, nutty. And I had, of course, the other side of the ball. I had Green Bay in my pool, my weekly pool that I do. And those lousy Minnesota Vikings, Matt. I had the Vikings, and I thought, oh, well, at least the Vikings are going to win. They're going to hang on for me. And the Browns beat the Vikings in the end. What happened there? The Vikings are 0-3.
We need a lot of help. I mean, we need a new quarterback. We need a new coaching staff. I can't believe... I don't even know how many coaches an NFL team has, but you got to think it's around 15, maybe a few more when you included all the assistants and everything. And no one on a fake field goal saw Jordan Cameron lining up just right on the sideline, right by the end zone. And I don't get how you have all these coaches, you have all the players, and nobody can see that happening when all the fans in the stands can see it and wanting people to call timeout and... It just doesn't. It's just an absolute meltdown. The season's over for my squad, which is awful when you're only 3 games in. You already know you're done. But I don't know. I guess we'll just be playing for that number one draft pick, try to get Teddy Bridgewater in here next year.
And you know what? Honestly, it's not just the Vikings. It wasn't that Green Bay flub. Dallas killed St. Louis. St. Louis wasn't in it at all. They looked like a pee-wee football team. Baltimore beat Houston 30-9. Houston couldn't get it out of the way of themselves. Carolina massacred the Giants. When was the last time you heard
New York?
When was the last time you heard the New York Giants with zero on the board? A goose egg. They didn't score one lousy point, not 1 point. And it wasn't all about Cam Newton. Carolina sacked Eli Manning 7 times. It was the worst beatdown for Tom Coughlin ever since he's been a New York Giants head coach. The Panthers, with their most lopsided win in their franchise history, it was crazy. I mean, what a rout. What happened is exactly it. What happened to the New York Giants? The line, the offensive line, was a mess.
You got some crazy things happening in the NFL. I mean, the Chiefs are 3-0. The Miami Dolphins are 3-0. The Giants are 0-3. Who is it? San Francisco is...
Got massacred again,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they're 1-2. I mean, there's just a lot of kind of crazy things happening right now.
Yeah, where it's unpredictable. I mean, it's not as predictable as before, where you could line up and just look at a team and say, oh, well, they'll probably do okay in this one, but I'm not expecting great things. And, oh, talk about great things. Terrible. Terrible for San Francisco, because now this is back-to-back games for them where they got clobbered. First Seattle last week, now Indy this week, and to not show up that way.
Seattle's looking like a powerhouse, too.
Yeah, they are. They are. They look
Russell Wilson took the entire second half off, pretty much, because they didn't even need any more points.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so they may be the teams, like Matt's saying, these may be the teams that you're talking about in the end, not what you thought on paper when you looked at this season or any of the preseason forecasts said, with the Seattle game, 45-17. 45-17. I mean, it's one thing to roll, but there's a reason why starters got to sit. Why do we have to play our best guys? We can put in whoever because they're not going to do anything to us. I mean, the Seahawks forced Jacksonville into three turnovers. They sacked Jacksonville's quarterback four times, and they just found a way to just kill him, club him. So it is a strange, strange season. I mean, try to have your Super Bowl predictions hold up now. Good luck with that. I mean, it's just been that kind of a year. And now we come to the close of the week with a Monday night football game that kicks at 8:30 Eastern. Oakland at Denver. And there's a Manning brother who's had incredible success. So after what happened to Eli, the Broncos have a chance at home to go 3-0, but the Raiders stand in their way. The Raiders are 1-1 at this point. And I would have to think, without a doubt, you give the nod to Denver in this game. But, boy, those other games, I was stunned by what we saw. Stunned. It was just an eeny, meeny, miny, moe kind of thing. It's worth cramming this in here at the end because it's a, I think it's a big sports story. Talking about football, now we have Monday Night Football, and that rolls off the, tail end of week three. In golf, there was the FedEx Cup. Now, the FedEx Cup is based on points, and if you had enough points, you could win almost $10 million in a bonus. Well, Heinrich Stenson did exactly that. He had a little bit of a challenge by a 20-year-old, Jordan Spieth, but he closed with a 2-under 68. He won the Tour Championship by three shots. And the 37-year-old Swede also wins the FedEx Cup. That means the points, and he gets a $10 million bonus. Wow, how much is that per putt for all the rounds that he did in the golf course at Atlanta at the Tour Championships? The four rounds, how many shots, add it all up. Something like, $10,000 a shot. That's great. $10 million. Woo! Golf is a money sport, I'll tell you. Thanks.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.